If you wish to follow along in your Bibles with me, we'll be reading today from Luke chapter 1, verses 8 through 15. Once, when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all. Come to Bethlehem and see Christ, whose birth the angels sing. This Advent, I am seeing angels throughout this Christmas story. In fact, I can count 6. We only heard about a couple of them this morning. You have to combine the accounts in Matthew and Luke to get to 6, but I'll tell you about all of them. I'm going to start at the end and work backward. The final 2 angel visits in the Christmas story are warnings to the Magi and to Joseph, warnings about Herod. The Christmas story is nearly over. The Holy Family has been through a heck of a time. Those strange visitors have left, and they are finally going to get some rest. But now an angel shows up and says, "Flee to Egypt to escape Herod's murderous rampage." The 6th angel visit is a cautionary command. All creation is singing praise to this momentous baby, but you need to lay low and keep him safe. And the 5th angel visit we heard this morning, the Magi are visited in their dreams and they get a warning: return home by back roads to avoid Herod. Herod is the current Roman employed king of Judea. He's waiting for these Magi to report on the baby destined to be king of the Jews. He wants to kill him. The Magi sneak home, so Herod attacks full scale, killing all baby boys in Bethlehem. Does that story ever undermine Christmas morning for you as you sit around your tree? Maybe you're sitting next to the fireplace and you read the Christmas story before you open presents. The story sure unsettles me. The plot reminds me of the device used in so many action movies, where you really care about the main character, and as the tension mounts, all of these side characters die, but you're just rooting for that main character, and you have so much relief at the end because the main character survives. I don't hold James Bond or Marvel Comics accountable for that kind of narrative, but I struggle with it in Matthew. But moving on back, Angel Visit 4 is the one we sing about the most, the angels who find the shepherds in the field and tell them where the baby is and where to find him. And then a multitude of the heavenly host appears and sings them toward Bethlehem. Just how many angels were there? The Greek word for host, stratia, refers to the stars of heaven. So there might be as many angels in a host as there are stars in the heaven. And this is a multitude of hosts. Angel visits 2 and 3 are the quieter kind. One angel visits Joseph, one visits Mary. It might even be the same angel. In Luke, we read that the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, visits Mary. In Matthew, it's the angel of the Lord, unnamed, who who visits Joseph. So this angel, or these angels, come to Mary and Joseph to let them know that all will be well, that this child living and growing inside Mary is God's work. You've heard all of those angel stories when you hear the Christmas story countless times, but there's one more that Michaela read for us this morning. The book of Luke opens with the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah. They are one of those famous couples in Scripture facing infertility, Sarah and Abraham, Hannah and Elkanah, Rachel and Jacob. Elizabeth and Zechariah wait years and years for a child, and then they end up with a child who will change history. In fact, miracle conceptions, either due to virgin status or fertility challenges, are a classic starting point for someone who will be a big deal. If you read the Bible as literature, you can see this is an excellent plot device. It draws on archetypal symbols. If you read the Bible as pure fact, you can see that God likes to bring significant leaders out of unlikely circumstances, and we get to read it on more than one layer at a time. The Gospel of Luke doesn't open for a miracle birth just for the drama of it. Elizabeth and Zechariah create John, who we know as the Baptist. He paves the way for Jesus' ministry. When Mary visits Elizabeth, both pregnant with their significant sons, John stirs in Elizabeth's womb when he senses Jesus is nearby. Just like Mary and Elizabeth, Stone Church is giving birth to a new thing. Through the discovery team process, in this time of pastoral transition, and as we continue to welcome new people who shape this body in new ways. It takes parents, shepherds, magi, and at least six angel visits to get Jesus safely into this world. It takes all of us to bring Stone Church's next chapter onto the page. We each have a part to play in the narrative that is unfolding among us this very moment. Just like John the Baptist, we prepare the way for Christ's love and justice to be born into this world, not just one Advent season, but again and again. Just like Mary and Joseph, Elizabeth and Zechariah, we are sometimes mystified about what is happening within ourselves. Like these parents, we might sacrifice as we sign on to God's plans for this body and for all that happens within this building, letting go of control, or like parenting teaches, letting go of the idea that we ever had control in the first place, trusting that great things are in store. And just like the angels, we can bring messages to one another. We might not relate to the angelic concept of perfection or purity, but that's not at all what these Christmas angels are about either. They offer cautionary words that the Magi and Mary and Joseph need to hear. We can do that with each other too. We can say, I've been down that road. Believe me, you don't want to go there. Maybe that road is revenge. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's believing mainstream culture's lies about what makes us valuable. Sometimes we heed each other's angel warnings. Sometimes we have to try the road for ourselves, and then we can be angels of comfort for one another. So how else can we be angels to each other this Advent? The spiritual teacher Marianne Williamson writes, angels are thoughts of God. To pray to an angel is to look to a level of pure thinking, divine thinking, and to ask that it replace our thoughts of fear. We have so much to fear these days. Political changes and terrorism, all of the crises in education and housing and employment. We fear the choices our children are making or the choices our parents are making. We fear changes in our bodies. We fear our future as we are damaging our own home, this very planet we share. We can be angels to ourselves and to one another, replacing our thoughts of fear with prayers. And we don't do it just once, because those thoughts of fear come again and again. So we have to turn to prayer again and again and again. Just like Gabriel, we can bring essential messages to each other, sharing the wisdom of our own life stories, from our divine communication, from our intuitive leadings. Stone Church's leadership team and discovery team are actively discerning. They need all of us to do the same. What are you hearing? What did you hear in November's congregational forum? Did that conversation stir up anything for you as you wash the dishes or walk the dog, as you are in your prayer time? We would like to hear your messages. And just like the heavenly host, we can bring glad tidings of great joy. Where is dawn breaking forth in your life this winter? Where is the light returning? Where are you finding rejuvenation or mystery or freedom? We need each other's awe and good news. We can be angels without knowing it. Last week, Philip and I were on a long flight, and in the row behind us were 5 children under the age of 3. They were traveling with their moms, who are sisters. They were so loud. The toddlers kept kicking our seats. The moms would apologize and apologize, and the kids would cry, then they'd fight, then they'd sleep. It was a 4-hour flight, and we just kept smiling, kept saying, "It's okay, they're kids." Or as I kept saying to the moms, "You're the one who has to go home with them. Don't worry about us." I'm not trying to say that that makes me an angel, but think about the ripples that flow from a pebble falling into a lake. Even if a pebble could see, it wouldn't see where the ripples go. So I didn't leave the airport with these moms to see how they talk to their kids or their taxi drivers or their spouses. But if I had been glaring at them on the plane or huffing, these moms would have had even more layers of frustration and guilt to have to wade through. There are countless unknown earthly angels whose kindness changed George Dolnikowski's life, as we heard from Marty this morning. And as we continue to wrestle with change, saying goodbye to beloved pastor here, or watching our country change in ways we don't like, maybe it's letting go of a career or facing an empty nest, we might find that transition brings out the worst in us: anxiety, disappointment, frustration. Change is hard for us individually, and we come here to church and we have to do it all together. When you find yourself or that person sitting next to you reacting to change in those unhelpful ways, I invite you to shake it off and look for your inner angel, the voice of wisdom and comfort waiting to be spoken, the tiny seeds of invitation or opportunity that can blossom into big delights. Take heart. The angels bring good news. Christ is coming to make all things new. Jesus teaches us that heaven is here among us when we choose to live in it. And we get to experience heaven as angels, not the sanitized fairy tale, pure, perfect angels, but the biblical angels who tell the truth and whisper wisdom and love across borders and boundaries. Amen to that.